You know, there's so many sermons are written in the songs we sing. It's hard to add to those words and the power of the cross. It's very humbling to think about. Our name was written in the wounds that he bore. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way. Folks, we can never express what Jesus Christ did for us. Sometimes it's hard to understand the depth of love that God had for a sinful people that were so unworthy, which is us. And you know, as I thought about trying to preach on Easter, there's so much encompassed in those final few days that Jesus walked the earth that occurred in what he had to experience in going to the cross of Calvary. And then again, when we come on Easter Sunday to that empty tomb because he has risen. And I can't put it all into one sermon, so I'm going to try to put it over into a number of series from this day going forward. But I've had this burden on my heart, I guess, and I recognized it in trying to prepare for the service, of trying to look at the humanity, the human side of Jesus, and what he was experiencing, not as a son of God, but as a son of man, because he was both. And the awful burden that he bore, and the only he could bore. But folks, we know the end of the story. He was victorious over the grave. But as you put yourself in the disciples' place, they didn't understand that yet. And so there was a lot of grieving. And I want to look at an occurrence here, and I want you to put yourself in the place of the character that we're going to focus on this morning as we celebrate our risen Savior and recognize that how personal this is. Folks, we need to make this very personal. It applies to you. I ask the question, is Jesus your everything? I've asked now for about 6 or 7 weeks, is your faith more valuable to you than anything else on earth? It should be, because it is a gift of God. He gave it to you. It is in your heart. And then it identifies you as his child. So how strong is your faith? I want to examine that as we look to Jesus Christ this morning. Please pray for me as we go through this service. The word everything refers to something that is extremely important, or the most important. If you believe someone or something is everything, you're saying that that person or that thing is the most important thing in your life. For some people, that's very significant. For some people, their family, their wives, their spouses, their children. For some people, it's a job. For some people, it's a possession. They identify with it, and it is their everything. Now, as Christians, it's a little different for some of us. But folks, still, I need to ask you, what is your everything this morning? Is it Jesus Christ? And you think about people in your life that you may know that that's not the story and that's not the case. For those people, what happens when their everything disappears? Or if it just crumbles and disintegrates? It's easy to feel like you don't have anything, that there's nothing left. Now, if you know the story and you put yourself in the disciples' place, it's easy to think and understand that that may be the way that they felt. Jesus was taken and crucified and died. The man they had followed for 3 years. All their hopes and their dreams, thinking that he would be the king to liberate the Jews from Roman occupation. It was all gone. As the people that mocked Jesus on the cross and those that passed by said, he healed the blind, he cured sicknesses, he did all this for others. Why couldn't he bring himself off of that cross? You see, there was a lot of misunderstanding. It seemed like sin had triumphed. And to the Jesus followers, everything had been taken away. You know, we mentioned Ukraine a little earlier this morning. It would be so easy to feel that way if you were in those people's shoes, having families destroyed and lives torn apart from that awful war. You see, folks, we live in such comfort we don't always recognize. We're so far removed from what occurred 2,000 years ago when Jesus rose from the grave that we just take it all flippantly almost, and not with the seriousness and with the understanding of what great love Jesus Christ has for his people and what he accomplished on that cross. This is a day of victory. He is risen. And it's not something to just say and then pass on through life with it having no more impact on you. So I want to ask you again, is Jesus your everything this morning on Easter? So now I want to turn with me to the Gospel of John. That's where we're going to spend our time this morning if you have your Bibles. But first I want to just introduce our character, who to Jesus was everything. Everything in life to this person. And that was Mary Magdalene. The Gospel of Luke says that Jesus cast 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene at the very beginning of his ministry. And from the very beginning of his ministry, Mary followed Jesus. Jesus was her everything. He meant more to her than anything else. And there were a collection of other women, this was the same thing. They followed Jesus. And Mary Magdalene was not only one of the first followers, but she was one of the last ones at the crucifixion. And she followed to the tomb where they laid Jesus, in the tomb of Joseph. She saw him buried there. And now our story picks up in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And I want to read verses 1 all the way down through verse 10. And then we're going to stop for just a moment. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him. And he went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had come to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as of yet they did not know, and you could substitute that to say they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their homes. So folks, that's what's occurred. Okay, Mary Magdalene came and saw that the tomb is empty. And we know the story because death could not hold him. He is risen. But folks, they were in a state of confusion. She goes and tells Peter, and the one that the Bible says here, the disciple that he loved, that's John. So he goes and tells Peter and John, and they come back to the tomb, and they look inside, and they go inside, and they see the grave cloths lying there where Jesus had been laid. And then, I think they didn't, it says that John believed, but they didn't understand. And so it says that they go back home. And they leave Mary there by herself. Now that's where the story picks up, and I want to focus on. And I want you to put yourself in the place of Mary. So let's continue reading verses 11 through 18, and then we're going to back up and apply this to ourselves and to Easter. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Now, folks, I want to go back and take some key points from these passages. And I want you to put yourself in the place of Mary. And how would you feel? And I want to ask you again, is Jesus Christ everything to you this morning on this Easter Sunday? Think about that. Because the first thing I want you to understand and to know, that no matter where you are in life right now, Jesus sees you. And if you happen to be in a stricken state or an emotional downcast state, Jesus sees your sorrow and he sees your grief. For a lot of people, I've made this comment before, Christmas and Easter are very, very depressing times for whatever reasons. People sometimes descend to a very low state. Jesus knows your heart. Now let's continue on, and I want you to focus on this for a moment. Peter and John left, and they left Mary alone. And then the next verse, it says that Mary was weeping. I don't understand how they could just so callously leave her alone, weeping. But that's what they did. Mary is sitting there weeping and grieving. Folks, the word weeping is not just crying. Weeping is associated with wailing. And in other parts of the Bible, it means lamenting with broken heart, uncontrollably sobbing. See, Mary was brokenhearted. Many of us have dealt with sadness and sorrow in some form. Have you ever felt just brokenhearted to the point that you couldn't control your emotions anymore? And you seriously wept? Maybe you can relate to Mary if you have. But there's something I want you to understand, too. That sometimes our tears, they come for many reasons. Sometimes because something is taken from us. And something is gone. And so we're searching for it. And we're looking for it. And we want to receive it and find it again. Mary felt like Jesus had been taken from her. And she looked further. Because in the verse, if we back up to it, she stoops and she looks into the tomb. And the verse says, as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb where Jesus had been laid. In verse 12, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid them." See, she had come to further prepare the body. Jesus had been crucified, and it was done so hastily that they could not finish preparing the Bible properly according to Jewish customs. And she loved Jesus, and she wanted to perform this service for him in death. You see, she was so grateful for what he had done for her in life. She loved him with all her heart and all her soul. And not only had they crucified him, but now they had stolen his body from the tomb, is what she thought. She was brokenhearted. And you see, it seems that she doesn't even realize that she was talking to angels. Because, and I say that because of the way that she answered. See, she's focused on her loss. The body's gone. It's just made her hurt even more. This text says that she saw two angels in white, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. But you know, folks, sometimes our grief does that to us, doesn't it? It takes our focus off of the things that are true, off of the things that are real. For Mary, it took her understanding off of Jesus. She was feeling the pain in her heart. But folks, never forget what I said a moment ago. God knows our pain. And he knows our sufferings in life. Notice how personal her relationship was with Jesus. I've asked you now many times, and I'm going to keep asking between now and when we finish this message this morning, is Jesus everything to you? We can go back to the 23rd Psalm. We had 8 sermons on the 23rd Psalm earlier this year. And in the very first one, in the 23rd Psalm, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And here, Mary calls Jesus, "They have taken away my Lord." You see, Jesus was everything to Mary. And now they've taken away her body, his body. It was very personal. Jesus was everything to Mary. But verse 14 says, "Now when she had said this," she says this to the angels, and it seems like she doesn't recognize that these are angels. She turns around and she sees Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. I don't know if that's because it was purposely blinded. I kind of think that's the reason, but folks, it could have been her grief as well. Because our grief can do that to us. It can blind us from what is real. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" You see, Jesus repeats the question of the angels, "Why, woman, why are you weeping?" But I don't think it's for the same reasons. The angels asked this question out of curiosity, not understanding. They knew what happened. They knew the prophecies and all the passages and everything that had been fulfilled. To the angels' view, Mary should have been rejoicing. But they ask, "Why are you weeping?" You see, Mary didn't understand. And folks, sometimes we don't understand in life either. But that's not the reason why Jesus asks. Jesus asks the same question, I think, out of compassion. Not out of curiosity. He knew why Jesus was weeping. And he wanted Mary to put it into her words. You see, folks, sometimes our tears are needed to turn us to God, to pour out our hearts to Him. Mary needed to do that. Folks, I hope you can take comfort knowing that Jesus sees your sorrows. He knows your fears. And He wants you to pour out your heart to Him. Sometimes we have to endure very difficult things in life to turn us away from the grief that blinds us to Jesus and say, "What now, Lord?" Sometimes our everything is taken away. That's what Mary felt. She didn't even recognize Jesus because she felt that everything was gone. But the second thing I want you to see here is that not only does Jesus see our sorrows and our grief, but He sees us seeking. And He asked Mary this question. See, the second part of the question she asked in verse 15 is, "Whom are you seeking? What do you seek after in life?" For some people, it's everything but Jesus Christ. You see, to them, they're everything when it's taken away, especially physical possessions. They don't know what to do. They don't have anything to live for. But folks, you have the gift of faith inside of you. You have everything to live for. This is a day of victory. We have everything to look forward to because our hope is in Jesus Christ and not in the things of the world. The word seeking means looking for, striving to find. And Jesus said whom, not what. What a distinction. Whom are you seeking? He knew Mary. He loved Mary. But folks, the question goes out to us too. Whom are you seeking? And I pray on this Easter Sunday, you're truly seeking after Jesus. It's not just a day to gather together the family and enjoy good food and have an Easter egg hunt. Those things are fine, but are you seeking after Jesus Christ today? Is He truly your everything? Does He mean more to you than anything else in life? He did to Mary. And folks, I'll tell you, in case that you've been confused or somebody in your family is confused by the circumstances in life and they're seeking something else, only Jesus Christ can satisfy that longing in the soul of a child of God. Sometimes, like the lost sheep or the prodigal son, we wander off seeking in the wrong places. We need to turn to Jesus and recognize it is He that is our everything. If We should only be looking to Him because only Jesus can satisfy our deepest needs. In communion, we ate the bread of life. Folks, our souls need spiritual nourishment, and that can only come from Jesus. I pray that you or nobody you know is seeking after anybody else. Only Jesus. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And Jesus said in Matthew, "Seek and you will find." Folks, this is a day of victory. We need to be turning to God and reflecting on our lives. And as I ask this question, is God more important? Is Jesus everything to you? I pray that He is. If we seek Him, we will find Him. But let's read 15. She, supposing Him to be the gardener, said to Him, "Sir, if you have carried Him away, tell me where you have laid Him, and I will take Him away." Now, folks, this is really not necessarily part of it. But Mary was seeking Jesus. She loved Jesus. It was important to her to find Him and to finish the burial preparations. She loved Him. She loved Him with all her heart and all her soul. And she didn't understand. So in the midst of this grief, her sorrows and seeking, and I want you to let this hit home, because it applies to us. No matter where we are, no matter what our circumstances, even those people in the Ukraine that Brother Pat mentioned and I mentioned, in the midst of all of that, the Lord knows your name. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Jesus said to her, "Mary." All it took was that one word. Jesus called her by name and her eyes were opened. And she turned to Him and said, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Then she knew. She knew that the grave could not hold Jesus, that He had risen like He had said. Earlier, when Jesus called her woman, she didn't recognize Him, but when He called her by name, everything changed. Folks, in the song we sang, "Your name were written in the wounds of His hands on that cross." How true it is. But folks, your name is also written in heaven. And we need to be rejoicing. Because you have faith that testifies to that, and because your name is written in heaven, and because of what Jesus did by rising from the grave, He overcame all. And we have hope in Him. And there's nothing more important than that hope and the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Folks, no matter your circumstances, God knows exactly where you are. He knows what you need, and He has not forgotten you. He knows you by name. When you sit there and start reflecting on your life and how undeserving you are of this great love that He poured out on that cross, it should be very humbling to realize He knows you by name. Isaiah 43 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." And only God can redeem us. There is no salvation through any other way. "I have called you by name. You are mine. You belong to the Lord." John 10:14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own." You have that gift of faith, so you are a child of God. Folks, you don't need to be seeking anything else. Wherever you are, you need to turn to God. He knows you by name. You see, there should be nothing in life that is more valuable to you than that recognition. That's the gift of faith inside you. To understand that, yes, Jesus knows me by name. And folks, you are precious in His sight. When Mary realized that it was the Lord, I think her despair turned to delight. And she can only utter one word, "Rabboni." Now, that's the Aramaic term. And it's a term of highest respect. She could have said three different things that all kind of mean teacher. The first one, "Rab," is a generic form for teacher. Then "Rabbi" is a little more formal, like a recognition that this would be, I guess, like a doctorate in education, calling Him teacher or respected teacher. But no, she called Him Rabboni, which is my respected master and teacher. So folks, if Jesus is your everything, is He your master this morning? If He is, folks, you need to recognize in the forgiveness of sins that you have by that dying on that horrible cross and rising from the grave. He's not given you the gift of eternal life to ignore and abandon and start walking in the ways of sin before that recognition came into your heart. So is He your master this morning? He was for Mary. You see, folks, there's something else I want you to think about that, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier already. You see, we have a vast number of brothers and sisters in our family. We have new relatives, you might say. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 17. Mary has turned to Him and called Him Rabboni, and she's wrapped her arms around Him. And some other editorials on this, I'll call them, and commentaries say that she clung to His feet. And her tears of joy, of despair, are now tears of joy. And Jesus says to her, "Do not cling to Me, for I have not yet ascended to My Father. But go to My brethren and say to them." You see, now Jesus is telling her what to do. That's what a master does. Are you listening? Are you listening this Easter Sunday? Whatever the Lord is telling you to do. He says, "But go to My brethren and say to them, I am ascending to My Father and your Father, and to My God and your God." Now folks, these words are important because I want you to understand the transitions that's occurred. Early in His ministry, Jesus called His followers servants. And then He called them disciples. And then He called them friends. And now He's calling them My brethren. And He calls them that because of what He accomplished on the cross. Folks, for everyone who has been born again, who has been given the gift of faith, you belong to the family of God. You are a child of God. And He knows your name. And folks, we have brothers and sisters that cannot be counted in the family of God. Romans 8 tells us, "For whom He foreknew, and if He foreknew you, He knew your name and He gave it to you in the very beginning. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called, and whom He called, these He also justified, and whom He justified, these He glorified." So let me ask you again, folks, is Jesus everything to you? Because of what Jesus did, we have been redeemed. We have been justified through faith. We will be glorified just as Jesus was glorified. Because we are no longer bound by sin. We're not a slave to it. We are made free on this day of victory because of the power of the cross. Because Jesus did everything. And now, folks, we're no longer called servants. We're called brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me read this again. And I pray that Jesus is your everything this morning. And if you hadn't thought about it, if you had thought about other things before you came to church, I pray you're thinking about it now. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to Me, for I have not yet ascended to My Father, but to My brethren, and say to them, I am ascending to My Father and to your Father, and to My God and your God." Because Jesus is risen and He sits at the right hand of God, we are justified by Him and through Him. And because of that, folks, we can say exactly what Jesus said to tell the disciples, to our God and to our Father. He's not some abstract God of creation and nothing else. No, He created you and He knew you by name. And He went to that cross to die for your sins. And He has ascended to the right hand of God, the Father. Folks, we know that. You say we put our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ because He rose from the grave. And we know it too because of what He told that thief on the cross. In Luke 23, He told them, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with Me in paradise." not because that thief lived a good life, not because of his works. Those condemned him to the cross. He was dying a deserved death, as we all would be, if it wasn't for the love of Jesus, who came to earth to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father, and I've shared this with you many times, was to save all those that the Father gave him. And he did it when he died on that cross, but more importantly, when he rose from the grave. Now the words tell us, O grave, O death, where is your sting? You see, we don't have to fear death because of Jesus. Because after this life is over, after our pain and our suffering is over, we look forward to paradise that Jesus has promised. But folks, until that day comes, until it comes, we need to be obedient like Mary was obedient. We need to be telling others about the risen Savior. Because there's power that only comes through a risen Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, I've got salvation through another way. Well, folks, there is no Buddhist statue that's ever been cast or carved. There is no pyramid. There are no other gods. There is not Muhammad. There is no other way and no other name except Jesus Christ by which we have salvation and the blood that he poured out on that cross. And we need to be obedient. And we need to pray for others and tell them about the miracle of the cross, about the miracle of Jesus' love, and about the hope that we have through his redeeming blood. Will you be obedient to what Jesus has told you in your life? You see, Jesus has told us all to go into all nations and make disciples. He's told us all to share our faith. He's told us all to believe. Mary was obedient. She came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and she had spoken these things to him. Have you told others about Jesus? Why you have this faith? Why Easter is important to you? Why hopefully Jesus is your everything? In closing, I want to remind you of one more word that Jesus said, and this comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's not on the PowerPoint. And Jesus came and told the disciples right before he ascended to heaven. And he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority on heaven and on earth. If Jesus is your master, like he was Mary's, if Jesus is your teacher who is leading you, if your faith and hope and trust in this life and in the life to come is in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. And you need to recognize that he has authority over your life. Turn to him and search nowhere else but at the foot of the cross. Because there you will find Jesus, you will find forgiveness, you will find redemption, and you will find God's amazing grace and love for you, his child, whom he knows by name. I pray that this Easter Sunday will be a time of happiness. It's a day of victory. And I hope you will make it a personal day. Because, folks, Jesus died for you. Go and share that story with others, is my prayer. Brother Mark. Savior, say, I need a small